Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, this is Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer some of the many questions you've sent in to us. And we try to be very selective, the ones we think are most relevant to everybody. So hopefully yours is in this bunch today. So, Angel, let's just jump in.
All right, Joe, I really appreciate your gift for storytelling. It truly is a gift. My church has great teaching, but when we had you at our church, not only was there great teaching, but I laughed a lot. Could you share how you learned how to be such a good storyteller? I may not ever speak to big churches, but I would love to entertain my family the way you entertain me.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I went to a great Bible school years ago. Now, I was working as an engineer and I had a great job, did that for 12 years. Then God called us to the ministry, so I go to a great Bible school and I get out. And I realized I was asked to teach high school kids. So for 10 years, I'm teaching young people every day, 171 days out of the year. And I noticed people remember what they laugh at. So I got done some study. I noticed that you saw pictures in the old Bibles that kids used to love to hang around Jesus. They were always on his shoulders, always giving rides and whatever. I thought, why did kids like Jesus? What made? Because I've got relatives. I got two sets of grandparents, and I got one that was very funny, very friendly, one that was just kind of rude and mean. So I noticed we like to hang around the friendly one. We didn't like to hang around the rude one. So kids like to hang around people that are fun. So Jesus was fun to be with. As a matter of fact, he got on to his disciples one time, said, don't offend one of these little ones. These little ones, they behold the face of the Father. You offend one of these little ones, be better you hung a millstone around your neck and drown yourself in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Don't offend one of these little ones that believe in me. I thought Jesus told stories. Now, we call them parables. Jesus told parables. It's like milking a cow, like going fishing for a fish. So he did relatable stuff that they understood. He spoke in a language that was part of their daily language, whether they're carpenters or whatever they did. He knew where they were, so he's meeting them where they're at. So you don't try to go over people's head and try to confuse them or impress them with big words. You're trying to meet them where they are. So I learned that, and then I grew up in a family that we spent every afternoon on the front porch. It was a big mining community, and about five big copper mines. And so everybody worked in the mines, about 750 people in town. And when you got off work, you ate dinner, you went on the front porch, and they told stories. Now, most of them are lies or half lies, but we laughed a lot, and you laughed at the stories. And so I also grew up watching the Red Skelton, and Red Skelton was so funny. I remember he came to Chattanooga a couple of times to the big auditorium, and he held us in the palm of his hand for about 2.5 hours, never took a break. And every time it ended, we'd be shocked. It can't be over. Is it over? And time just flew by because we were laughing. You remember what you laugh at. And so people say, you try to be funny? No, I just think life's funny. And, you know, I had a big fan of myself, and the kids like you when you're laughing at something. Lighten up a little bit. Quit being so serious all the time. And so when I started ministering, I didn't do it on purpose. It's just me. I grew up in a big family. Just tell stories. And you remember the stories. And so when I taught at high school for 10 years, I had a big children's Bible storybook. I'd bought the local bookstore. A great lady. She was like her early 80s. She'd never been married, but she taught Sunday school her whole life, taught in a public school, and she knew how to tell stories. She wrote Edgar Meyer's Bible Storybook. It's a big hardback book, still in print today, I think Warner Press. And so she took every major story in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and taught about a page and a half of modern English of that story. So, Peter, what'd you learn to teach the Bible from Edgar Meyer's Children's Bible Storybook? Learn to tell stories. Keep it short. Keep it lively. Get to the point, and then send them home. Don't go overboard. Don't go too long. Get to the point. So that's how I learned to do it. And it just worked. It still works to this day. So
really, that's what Jesus did when he would tell parables and, yes, and things like that. He would give a scripture and then tell a story to support it so, yep, that you'd remember it. You know, there's a lot of people that you said when years ago when I was 19, my first job in ministry was I worked for the power team. Some of you may remember them. And they break bricks and bend steel bars and break 12 feet of ice with her head and stuff like that. And what I realized then was that would let people's
lower their guard
lower their guard down. So then very quickly and very easily, you could take it from the flesh, so to speak, and then you could just shift that over to allowing the Holy Spirit to move into somebody's life. Joe does it with humor. Some of it is from that we're from the South. We are storytellers. We didn't have much TV when I was growing up.
No, we had no TV. No.
So you entertained yourself a lot. Did. I would just
look. Be yourself.
Be yourself and have
fun.
You know,
they say they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. What's a testimony? Well, you've been tested and you came through it. And that's, we would have testimony every Sunday night at church. Anybody have a testimony night? And people would get up. They're not preachers. They're not teachers. But again, they'd share how God redeemed them, delivered them, healed them, got them out of trouble, got brought them through a horrible situation. And it was a testimony. Well, you've been tested and you came through it. And so they're just telling a story. They're not a preacher, but boy, it's powerful. But yeah, a lot of people get saved and come to the altar. What is it? They heard a testimony. So basically, you're just trying to tell your story. This is who I am, what I've been through, and how I got here. And God's still moving. It's not based on my IQ or my GPA. It's based on I know God.
Joe and Angel, thank you for being consistent and having a new episode for us every week. I truly look forward to it, and sometimes knowing I'll get to laugh with you both on Monday gets me through difficult weekends. With someone who is struggling with depression, how do I get out of this cycle of always feeling dreadful? I know it's not your problem, but I would appreciate any advice. The Bible says there's only one way to get rid of a spirit of heaviness, and that's to put on a garment of praise.
Come on.
I would, every time you get in a car, every time you're in your home, every time I would have the best praise and worship playing that you could, because that is what will break that.
Yes. There's a scripture that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You got to watch what you feed on. That's how the devil got into Adam and Eve. He gum flapped him to death. Are you sure God said he's challenging the word of God? But don't let anything challenge the word of God. You need to feed on the word of God. Read your Bible. Just read a psalm a day or a proverb a day and give God something to work with, because the Spirit of God will bring that to your remembrance. So how do you do this? Well, I just guard my heart. I don't watch stupid. I don't sing stupid. I don't read stupid. And people say, well, that's just crazy. No, that's biblical. Mm-hmm. I'm to guard my heart. You know, ain't not. We don't have cable, you know, on TV. We got a big screen TV, but we watch movies we predetermine we're going to watch. We don't watch stupid. And we don't listen to stupid music. It's like, you got to guard your heart. And so both of us grew up very different, but very biblical. And we have people that taught us, listen, you can't feed on crazy stuff. And so, well, that's not a real world. No, that is the real world. We live in the real world. Everybody else is living in the fake world that the devil's created. So just watch what you feed on, and you'll turn out to be quite a happy person. And people will ask you about the hope that's in you. And you'll be simple. Well, I know Jesus. He saved me, got me in a great local church, and I just guard my heart. I don't watch stuff. Is this going to, we've made fun of people like, how's this movie end? We're not going to tell you that. I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch a movie unless I know how it ends. If it doesn't end good, I'm not going to waste 2 hours and watch something depressed where the guy gets killed and go broke. I'm not going to watch that. The devil try to bring that to my remembrance. No, I'm going to watch something good. So watch what you feed on.
Absolutely. All right. Joe, our kids grow up so fast, and it's hard for me to believe that my firstborn is going to be 18 this year.
Happy birthday.
That's the tough one. It is. Mine turned 30, my son, this year. These years where they transitioned from in your care to living life on their own as an adult, how did you handle that transition? And do you have anything you would do differently? Well, for me, because I was a single mother, I went into a dark place. I'm going to be honest with you. When my daughter got married, my son was getting married. I'd never really believed that there was such thing as an empty nest syndrome, but it is for real. And a friend of mine who has always prayed for me said to me, this is good. You need to face it, because you've almost made those kids your idol. And I was like, ooh,
whoa.
She was right. She's right. And it was awkward at first, and I had to change my habits and everything. And of course, you can't hold your breath. They'll probably come back. My son came back a couple times.
Oh, Lord.
Finally, that last time I said, I think it's time for you to hit the road, Jack. But so there's a grace that you step into. I really believe that it's time, or the season is ready to go. But I'm not going to tell you that it was easy. I mean, we they went to school in the same town we live in. It's literally 15 minutes from my house. And we were moving him on campus. And I'm crying like he's going to another continent, you know. And it was just like, you know. And I was like, well, I don't know what the big deal was. He's still coming home for lunch and I do laundry and stuff. So, yep. But so it was an adjustment, though. It did. It did, because they had been my life for 12 years yes. completely. So it was, I had to kind of regroup and spend more time with friends and, you know, get more involved in things at the church and stuff. So
get real life.
Yeah. And it's a transition. It really is, to go from being mom, from going from being a taxi driver to, you know, someone that is just there. You see them all the time, to suddenly, you know,
they have their own opinions.
That's the second part of this. The second part of this, their own opinions make it easier for the separation to come, because I got so tired of hearing about how I was wrong. You know, when you're trying for about 20, they start determining that they're smarter than you yeah. are. So
the Jewish people have it figured out. You know, they have the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah. When you turn 13 in Jewish culture, you become an adult and have a big celebration, throw a big all day party. Rabbi meets with you, and you're going to have the five books of the law pretty much memorized, page 13. But you're considered an adult. You're not a mature adult until you're 30, but you're an adult at 13. Well, in our culture, you know, if you're 13, you're an idiot. Go to your room, shut the door, and get out of my life, get out of my hair, and I'll be glad when you get out of the house. And it's not the way to do it. You know, you're trying to launch them into adulthood so they'll be successful and they'll reproduce what you made in them. And so you got to change your thinking. It's trying to launch adult. You're not losing a kid. We're trying to launch adulthood. You want them to grow up, pay your own bills, buy your own house, get your own car, you know, and live your own life. That's what we're trying to reproduce, an adult. And so you got to kind of get your mindset, like Angel said, into that. I'm trying to launch an adult here. I'll be a have a relationship with it till Jesus comes, but it needs to be your life now.
And I had said on an earlier Mailbag Monday that there's transitions that you go through. Like this year, you know, my kids will be gone for Thanksgiving to their dad's house. And so, okay, then we have to make an adjustment. And then at Christmas, they wanted to do it at their house. And you know, typically it would be at my house.
Yes.
So
life changes. It does not stay the same.
It doesn't stay the same. So you just have to become flexible. Most people are not flexible, but as a parent, you have no choice. So they can break you or you can bend on your own free will.
And there's a weeding out process. Even God, like when Isaac came along, Abraham's still around. But you're not what's happening anymore, Abraham. Isaac's what's happening. And then, you know, and so every generation, the next generation, well, what happened? Isaac, well, his son came along and he's what's happening now. You're still alive, but your son's what's happening now. And so there's a passing on of the faith to the next generation. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to launch the next generation. That's the whole goal. Trying to get them out there and do what I did and believe God, use your faith, resist the devil, become successful, whatever you set your hand to. And so it's a good thing. It's not a sad thing. It's a good thing. It's a God thing.
It is. It is. And then eventually you maybe get a grandbaby.
Come on. Woo.
Hey, we love you guys. Hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining us. Have a great, great day.
God bless.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.